Introduction.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Blog Talk Radio. Optimize My Life brought to you Monday through Friday through the Hope Collection. Ron Clayton, why don't you tell us a little bit about the Hope Collection and this Blog Talk Radio? Well, ladies and gentlemen, we've got a little sunspot here. I'm going to pick up on that. Blog Talk Radio is brought to you 5 days a week through the Hope Collection. And the Hope Collection sponsors this Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio and the Hope Collection were founded by Dr. Joel Griffin, who has since passed from this earth, but I know that he's with us in spirit. And we are so grateful to the Hope Collection, which is a nonprofit organization, a 501c3, as it's called by the IRS. And so every day, Monday through Friday, at 12 noon Eastern time, we call it lunchtime, but of course those calling in from other parts of the country would be on a different time frame. But they are here we are on Blog Talk Radio, brought to you by the Hope Collection. And each of the 5 days is dedicated to one of the eight columns of the Hope Collection. Family, faith, and housing are three of them. So today is Tiny Home Wednesday, and Tiny Homes is, of course, an integral project within the Hope Collection and within the housing column of the Hope Collection. And our hostess for the day is Barb Riley. Barb Riley is known as the Tiny Home Queen. And Barb, are you with us?
I'm here, Gary. Thanks for the introduction. I'm so excited about all our guests today.
Excellent, excellent. Pat Durham, I believe I see you're on the line here too. Pat, are you with us?
Yep, Pat Dunham is here and ready to roll.
Pat Dunham is here and ready to roll. Well, although we've done it for a couple of weeks, let's just introduce our audience to what a tiny home is and what our objectives and purposes are in chatting about tiny homes.
Okay. Well, so a tiny home is a structure that is a single-family dwelling, typically under 400 square feet. And it might be a movable structure, or it might be a permanent structure or semi-permanent structure that an individual can live in. And there's all kinds of great opportunity for tiny home living, whether you live in it as a full-time residence, or if you own one and rent it out or have it as a secondary property. There's all kinds of ways to have tiny homes, live in them, and have an opportunity for more experiences and a richer life through being able to focus on less stuff and more on relationships. So that's what a tiny house is.
I'm sorry. Barb, why don't you introduce Pat to us, and we'll have Pat give us a little introduction as to how she relates to tiny homes and how she relates to Barb Riley and Barb's company, the Billsworth.
And so Pat Dunham is the greatest lady ever. She is so much fun. She's a tiny house person, and she is the tiny house advisor. And so Pat Dunham, I'm so glad you're here, and tell us about tiny homes and your life with tiny homes.
Well, I could spend the whole hour. Anyway, we started out years ago. My father was a builder, and he said he would build us a house. So my husband, who had never built a thing in his life, I picked a picture out of a magazine. Guess what? I just thought about it in the last year. The place was 4,000 square feet, and we were just 21 years old. Then along the way, we went from big to small. We lived on boats. And then we had a 72-foot-long, five-bedroom, two-story house And we said every weekend we're out with our boat out to an island. And we said, why don't we just live aboard? So we moved aboard a 55-foot twin diesel motor yacht and lived on it for several years with our six children. And then again, back and forth into houses. And then my husband built a boat, a sailboat, and we went to Cuba and all over with it. And then we converted a shed, a building on our property to an accessory dwelling unit. And so that's what's on my website, the picture of that unit. And it was 226 square feet, or 236 square feet. And we love it.
Well, you know, it's kind of interesting. I just quickly note that living on a boat is a form of tiny homes. My wife is enamored with tree houses. That's a tiny home in the tree, and the boat is a tiny home in the water. But I'm just going to tell our listening audience, having two such fantastic sources here on the Tiny Home Wednesday edition of Blog Talk Radio, brought to you by the Hope Collection, that the listeners can call in at area code 714-816-4686. Again, that's area code 816-4686. And you'll be prompted with an automatic responder. I always smile and say she's got an English accent, but it's a bot or a robot or an automated program. But then you're connected with us, and I'll be able to turn your mic on once I see your telephone there, and you could ask questions of our hostesses here today. And boy, there couldn't be any two better qualified advisors here on Tiny Home Wednesday. Barb Riley, you want to tell us a little bit about Billsworth, your company, and how you're connected and your company's connected with tiny homes?
Yes. Actually, what I wanted to do today is introduce you to another guest that I have here with me, because we are on an adventure right now. And we wanted you to hear about it, and I thought this would help us in a direction today with tiny homes. So I want to introduce you all to Elise Rothman. She is amazing, and she has all kinds of creative, wonderful ideas, and she has created Yum Life Ventures, and so we want to talk to you about finding locations where tiny homes are welcome, or about how tiny living and the experience of tiny living. And so, Elise.
Wow.
How do you live in tiny?
Elise, how are you doing?
Hey, everybody. I'm doing great. Nice to meet all of you. I feel so excited, actually. Barbara's like, oh, well, while we're on this tiny home adventure looking for destinations and locations, by the way, I'm going to be on the radio show. You want to join me? And I'm like, okay. So I could give you a brief background on who I am. And Pat, we have a lot in common. I was a chef on sailing yachts for many years. My fiance and I have just spent over 2 years RVing in all over the country as full-timers. I'm a mindset architect and a coach, and I have been traveling and working remotely and speaking all over the country, and he's in IT, and we traveled in a 24-foot motorhome with two bicycles on the back, so that is very tiny home living. We've taken it to the nth degree. and we ended up in Wikiwachi, Florida, where we bought an old roadside motel with five rooms that we've turned into suites, and we're right on the water, and we're running this incredible everyday retreat. And Barbara and I are now on the road looking for another location so Yum Life Ventures can open up another destination, and we are excited about the tiny home aspect of that as well.
Well, thank you for that wonderful introduction, but I'm going to be technical here. Barb, I've been doing all the talking. I'm now turning the microphone over to you completely. So go ahead and take it from here.
Okay. Well, so Elise and I, we're on the road, and we are trying to find locations that are RV friendly, but tiny home friendly. And a lot of RV parks, they aren't familiar with what a tiny home is or how tiny home living might benefit them by accepting and welcoming tiny homes into their communities. And so we just wanted to talk today about what some of the options are. If you own a tiny home already, if you're looking to buy a tiny home, if you have an RV park, if you have land, if you have ideas, today's the day to please give us a call in, ask questions, and Pat can and Elise both know about living tiny. What my company does, Buildsworth, is we inspect the homes as they're being built to building code to make sure that they're safe for full-time dwelling and that they're put together properly so that they can withstand all the super-duper environmental challenges that we might be dealt with wind, snow, moisture, and seismic. So we make sure that those homes are good for wherever they are. And that's my piece. And so we can help anybody if they're interested in designing or building their own. We can assist. Our tiny house advisor, Pat, can help us with that. And then Elise can help us with identifying the RV destination locations or tiny home locations and RV parks and places that are tiny house friendly. And so that's what we're going to talk about today.
Yeah. And if you're near Mayo, Florida,
M-A-Y-O.
Or Suwannee, just give us a shout because we're in our 20-foot RV. Her name is Maggie that I traveled all over the country with, and we've taken her back on the road, and we're looking at some destinations really right now. We're sitting in her right now outside of one of the potential destinations. So quite exciting.
So,
well, I'm going to refer to you as the dynamic trio. But the barbecue.
Okay. And so, Pat, you're working on another structure for yourself, right? Another tiny home. And and tell us some of the challenges that you faced with that.
Well, you really have to have your ducks in a row when you talk to your community. Because you cannot trust that, at least in my area, that they will present it properly. I have only 5 feet at my rear property line from my foundation, and I wanted to have a carport back there where I had originally. And they wrote it up that I wanted to put a 20-foot-long building right there on the 5 foot. And I paid all this money for a variance, and they went along with what he said. And I said, that isn't what I asked for, but it didn't matter. Then I asked for another, bought the variance, paid more money, and they still went with his original plan. So you have to be really careful that you really have your own ducks in a row before you even go to somebody and make sure that they have the same picture you do. Otherwise, you're wasting your time and your money like I did. And now my city is requiring me to wait a year before I can even, move forward with that. But I have been able to change my plans and I'm okay. But, you just really need to have your ducks in a row when you're making your presentation.
Well, Pat, that was a great segue to Buildsworth and one of the things that Buildsworth does to help people as they're getting their tiny home, whether it's designing it from the ground up. But the hardest part is working with your municipality, and you're right. It's the right terminology and just knowing the information in the way and the language that the municipality is familiar with. And so we can have folks, if they would like, they can just give us a call at Buildsworth. And that's what we do. We help them navigate through all of these challenges so that it can be a great experience for you in the end. And so let me tell you a little bit of how to reach Buildsworth. You can reach us through our website at buildsworth.com, and it's spelled BILDSWORTH.com. And I'll let everybody, I imagine that maybe nobody was prepared with a pencil or paper yet. So as we go along, we'll be giving out additional websites. And to go to Billsworth to find out more about how to connect with us and how we can help you to make the tiny home of your dreams and make it so that it can be accepted into any area. And so as we've gone along and discovered more about how this is, we're trying now to find additional communities. And we know that there are many that have put together some databases of locations. And Elise has been doing this for years before we met.
Yeah.
And tell me how that came about.
So, So as a mindset architect, I help people talk about framing and designing a tiny home. Well, the biggest little tiny home within us is our mind, and it has a framework and a design. And so looking at that and taking things in that direction, one of the things that we've done, I created a company called Yum Life, and it's Y-U-M-L-I-F-E, and it's all about really living a life of limitless possibilities and growing happier in the process of having these experiences. Well, when we hit the road, I created Yum Life RV Destinations because the vision that we have at Yum Life is to create a network or a collection of destinations very similar to other membership, RV memberships, or even like hosting companies like for short-term rentals, and creating a database where people could get a passport and travel to different Yum Life RV destinations. So on our website, Yum Life RV Destinations, if you go to where the destinations are and you do have a property or an RV park, an RV&B or a hip camp or whatever it is in your tiny home or RV friendly, you can go right onto the website, fill out all your information, let us know what size rig you accept and if you're pet friendly and all of those details, and just submit your information and that will come to us and we can reach out. What I love to do is get in my little Maggie RV and actually go visit the location because that's my favorite part of it all. But right now at Yum Life RV Destinations, we actually have a form that you can fill out. And if you have a location and you're interested in really upping your vibe of where you're at and meeting new people and having new experiences, it's really an amazing way to travel without even having to travel.
Yes.
Like people come to you.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much where that started.
That is so incredible. So that's what we're doing right now is we're in Mayo, Florida, and we have stopped by and we're at the Suwannee River and we're RV Rendezvous. And we're having a good time. And they said, as a matter of fact, yes, we're tiny house friendly, and we want to add more spots. We're adding 140 locations for people to come and bring their own tiny home and or their RV, and they're expanding. And so we are finding there are more and more locations that are tiny home friendly. And we want to spread the word.
Right, and having a hub, right, or a spot that I, like if I'm just starting out in RVing, which we were new RVers a couple of years ago, it was amazing to have the resources available to be able to go to those sites, to be able to go to the individuals and groups of people who are already having this experience in traveling. And that's where Yum Life RV Destinations or Yum Life the destinations comes in, because it will become a resource for tiny homes. It will become a resource if you're RVing or if you're just starting out. Maybe you can rent a tiny home. Mm-hmm. You know, they have RV shares and, you know, different companies out there where you can just test the waters. You know, what is it like to live in a tiny home?
Yeah.
What's it like to actually travel in a tiny home? One of the things that we found that was a big eye-opener for us when we started traveling is that we met a lot of full-time RVers. Well, there's a very different way that...
Anybody there?
Right. And speaking of that, I know that there's a potential for us to have many guests here today. And as we take a pause on that, Gary, I wanted to check back in with you and see if we have anybody that has some questions or want to know a little bit more about tiny homes. And I may have put you on the spot. I know you're running the studio. And so do we have any guests? And if we do, go ahead and jump right in.
Yeah, this is Coach G, the technical aspect of this. And so, Barb, all I can tell you is we hit a sunspot. We lost track of lost the connection, apparently, with the person who was talking. But I do report to you that as of yet, we have no additional callers calling in. So I'm going to give the microphone back to you and tell you what keep up the good work.
Okay. Well, very good. So, Elise, tell me a little bit more about, as a mindset architect and that, and preparing to live tiny, and tell me more. Just tell me more.
Okay. So that's a big question, Barbara, but let's see what we can say. Yeah. Well, Barbara and I were having this conversation before the show about, you know, like, what can we chat about? You know, what can we talk about as far as tiny living and some of the things that you said that you've already discussed, Pat, you're the expert on, like, how to move into living tiny, right? You don't just move from your 7,500 square foot space into like a 400 square foot home, right? It doesn't just happen like that. I mean, it could, but it takes a big jump.
Right.
So, you know, where our mindset is set and what we fill our mind with, you know, it's kind of like, what are we keeping in the tiny home, right? Like, it's, you have to be very intentional about what you're putting in your tiny home to be able to live optimally, right? Mm-hmm. To live big in tiny. Well, as a mindset architect, it's kind of the same thing. How is your mind framed and designed? And once it's designed and you have this mindset, what is it filled with? How are you staging that? You know, what thoughts are you filling it with? What focus are you filling it with? So I kind of see it as just a different genre or medium as a mindset architect and living in a tiny home. And so one of the things we talked about is, like, this is a tip for people who want to go tiny, who have a lot of thoughts in their mind or have a lot of stuff that they're holding on to. Whatever the thought is or whatever the material thing is that you're holding on to, one question that you can ask yourself that will help right away is this bringing me joy? Is this adding to anything in my life? And is it worth my investment, my time, my energy, and my focus? Because that investment is worth far more than money. And so you could start renovating your inner house, your inner mindset, and your bigger 7,500 square foot or 2,500 square foot house as you move tiny. And in doing that simultaneously, you really come into alignment with a new way of living and making an experience the focus. Like, that's the success. That's the abundance.
Yeah.
That's the umami that we call yum life.
Yeah. Oh, and Pat, I want to bring you in on this because you said something last week that I thought was just invaluable. And I'll prompt you to start with, but you had said that you can just go ahead and go tiny. And you suggested several different ways on how people might begin that process. Do you recall?
Yes, I do. I was saying that so many people want to go tiny, and they think, oh, I've got to build a tiny house or whatever. They could be living tiny way ahead of time and saving a lot of money towards their tiny house by simply renting a studio. They call them studios. They call them efficiencies. They're usually one room with a bathroom, and in that one room is their kitchen, the little kitchen, and their living room area and their sleeping area. And it's a tiny house, and they could be renting it while they're saving money to go tiny. And speaking of money, this is how it works, at least in my area. And I'm going to go back. Prices have gone way up, as everyone knows, with rentals. But a few years ago, you could rent an efficiency in my area, which is a higher priced area. You could rent an efficiency or a studio, they're both the same thing, for around $995 a month. Now, that same person that is renting, say, a one bedroom, one bath apartment, they're probably paying the same thing back then, $995, but many times they're paying their utilities, water, electric, cable, Wi-Fi, all that. And that's about $300 more a month. So if they're in the efficiency or the studio, most of them include all that. So they're saving $300 a month living in a studio or an efficiency, and it can go towards their tiny house build. And they can practice living tiny without even having to have their own tiny house yet. And so I highly recommend that.
I think that is brilliant, Pat. Just absolutely brilliant. Of all the tiny home shows I've been and all the places we've been together, that is one that would really help people to realize a dream and not feel like they have to just hurry up and do it, or they can downsize over time. So I really appreciate that one, as we've been working on financing for tiny homes. And we'll talk more about that on a different day. And so Elise mentioned optimizing your life, or an optimum life. Gary, I don't know if now would be a good time for you, but can you tell us a little bit about the Hope Collection and Optimize My Life and how that all fits together?
Boy, Barb, it's the perfect time, right on the half hour. You must be a good producer. Yes, the Hope Collection is brought to us, brings us the Blog Talk Radio show host, and it's a show program. And each day of the week, Monday through Friday, is dedicated to a different column, or I like to say pillars of the Hope Collection. And on Wednesday, that is the housing aspect. But HOPE is a nonprofit organization that attempts to bring diverse suppliers and providers together, those that can best help support the pillars or columns of the HOPE Collection. And these individuals come on as connect as suppliers, and then we reach out to the public. And we have another website called Optimize My Life. And technically speaking, this is the Optimize My Life broadcast on Blog Talk Radio, brought to you by the Hope Collection. And today is Tiny Home Wednesday, and our moderator for this and in weeks to come is Barb Riley, who is the founder of an organization that advises individuals on all of the benefits, all of the advantages, and all of the aspects of looking into or building a tiny home. And today Barb has a couple guests with her, and we're so grateful to have Pat Dunham and Elise with us. And so Barb, I'm going to give you back the microphone and say good job. Let's continue on, ever onward, ever upward.
Okay, so Elise,
yes,
we're on this adventure. And what do you foresee as an advantage for someone that has property? Maybe they're already an RV park or they're an empty property. What do you see as an advantage of welcoming tiny homes?
Okay, so we can look at it with many versions and many perspectives. First and foremost, I think creating an opportunity to have new experiences in one's life is rich and rewarding beyond financial success.
Mm-hmm.
And so recognizing that we have resources right in front of us that we may not have recognized as such can help in assist and complement one's life in so many ways. Whereas if it's zoning and all that, that's where Buildsworth comes in. So there's definitely, HOAs and zoning and, few obstacles that may stand in the way. But if you're resourceful enough, anything is possible,
that's
especially
for sure.
When you believe it is. And so that's the first and foremost. I guess I could mention that my fiance and I, as we've been traveling, decided that we like the Wikiwachi area in Florida, which is much known for manatees and mermaids and near Homosassa and Crystal River. So it's a big destination. And we were looking for a little RV spot that we could pull up along the river and just have a little slab and, a little hookup and maybe put a dock and an outdoor shower. And it happened to come with a 5-room motel attached to it. And we decided that we were going to purchase it. And we bought this old roadside motel. And in a few short months from December till now, we have revived the entire space and created this incredible family-friendly, pet-friendly, what we call everyday retreat. And we have these little efficiency suites that I like to call tiny suite retreat living. And we have our RV. We got our hookup and we got our slab. It's just in the property next to it that we purchased as well. So, you know, and it's been incredibly rewarding. The people who we get to meet, and we call our guests treats, because if you come and stay at Manatee Landing Retreat, you're our treat people. And then when you come back, you're a retreat. So we've created an incredible community. And I think that's a huge advantage. Plus the fact that, honestly, all of our lovely treats are actually the funds behind this incredible venture. So there are financial rewards, absolutely, for sure, where, I mean, I used to Airbnb out my little suite in my house, and it paid for my home mortgage and everything. So there's financial benefits to it, and it also provides a freedom, I think, for the homeowner, because that leaves free time. Then if you have more financial resource, then you can go out and have more experiences as well.
Yes.
So that's how I see it. Yep. And also being a model, you know, for other individuals that do have property. You know, somebody's got to start.
Exactly.
You know, so if it becomes a thing, we can really grow our communities in a different way and with a different vibe than we are right now.
And provide opportunity for others.
Absolutely, and provide housing or short-term rentals or experiences and that sort of thing.
Well, so at your place,
yeah.
When I came and visited, we looked at each efficiency or suite, and we talked about how could we make that space like a tiny home,
yeah.
So people could kind of get that experience in a smaller space and just see how that would be. And so Pat is the tiny house advisor. And I recommended Pat to Elise, and we'll get everybody together.
Yeah,
so
Pat, come and visit. We would love to get your input and your feedback. We have five suites, with two of them have full kitchens, and the others with kitchenettes, and they're ready to turn into a tiny suite retreat.
Yep. Oh, I'd love to.
So,
wait.
Well, you know,
Oh,
go ahead, Barb. I'm sorry.
No, you go ahead, Gary.
I just want to thank you for all of the information you've given to individual homeowners or people who are interested in tiny homes. But, Barb, I think, too, that there's another aspect of perspective to take on this, and that is the collective capacity of what we have unofficially labeled Hope Villages. And in Hope Villages, if I can take a broader perspective, is a combination of multiple homes. And what's the application of this? The application of a Hope Village is several ways in which it could be used. One is for the gentrification of our city. Most of our cities, or many of our cities, are undergoing a great renaissance. And there's what was formerly called brown areas. Those areas which have been largely abandoned are being rebuilt and reorganized. And I use as an example here an area of South Buffalo in which the lots here, and I have been told it's multiple lots, are very different from today's suburban lots. They are long and narrow. And so this is the perfect application of tiny homes because of their size. They can fit so wonderfully on these long and narrow lots. But in addition to that general concept and the gentrification process, the Hope Collection has been working on financing these homes and providing a spot for a means to these homes for first responders, veterans, and people who are looking to as a starter home. So, Barb, maybe you and the others could address some of the advantages of the tiny home in terms of investment or purchase or gentrification.
Okay.
So it reminds me of New Orleans, right? Like they call them shotgun homes.
Yes.
And then, Barbara, you can, you know, confirm or affirm. That's a term that's very accepted as a shotgun home because people the municipalities recognize that as a term that's already being used in areas like New Orleans. And pocket neighborhoods, they're calling them, responsive pocket neighborhoods, where you could actually put them on top of each other and have multiple shotgun homes and create a little community just in a city block, a half a city block.
An urban infill.
Yeah.
And that would get you the vertical growth. What we're experiencing is that there are ways that through tiny homes or with tiny homes for RV parks to welcome more people in and say that they're tiny house friendly. And so we want to connect those destinations as best we can so that people can see that there are places to live in tiny homes, but in essence is create the Hope Villages and a Hope Village or a Yum Life Village or a tailor-made village powered by Hope to bring together places that there is land and people that want to live in community with one another with similar interests and whatnot. And so we'd like to invite people today to, if you have land or if you've thought, you know, I might like to participate in the tiny home industry in some way, if you already have an RV park or a mobile home park, if you know of dilapidated ones, do you know ones that are thriving? Any place that, you know, you have an interest that might tie us together with tiny homes and provide an opportunity for the owner or the property owner or the tiny home owner, we'd love for you to go to Elisa's website to Yum,
Y-U-M-E, like Yum Life, L-I-F-E, R-V, destination.com. And you'll see the little tab with, like, the little links, and it'll say RV-friendly or Yum Life RV-friendly destinations or places to stay. If you scroll down, it'll give you an idea of the different locations that are available. And if you scroll all the way down and you have a destination that you would like to have a conversation about, opening up to tiny home travelers and, you know, even longer-term rentals, just fill out that form and the information will come directly to Barbara and I, and we will personally reach out and have a conversation about it.
Yeah. So, Pat, when you and I have traveled to the tiny house shows, we have met a friend that has a website that she has put together as well. So she has a huge database and in combination and collectively, and that has made a big difference, hasn't it? And I know you get asked, where can I put it all the time? And you've talked to other people that have had RV parks. Do you have thoughts on the advantages of somebody that would have land that might want them to say, hey, I want to find out more about this?
Oh, absolutely. There's so many people today that are looking for ways to have a little extra income. And and if they would reach out to us, people like Jill Canto, Barbara, you would tell when we get back to you, give her website out. I don't know it by heart. But there are people, the biggest question people ask is, where can I put it? And then there's the people who have the facilities, have the property, that would love to have a little extra income. A lot of the ones that are doing it successfully are having people either pay a small amount or they come and they help on the property. It might be a farm. It could be an agricultural place where they're growing things and they need help. And they're really interested and willing to have people come and stay on their property. And so there's so many possibilities out there. It's just knowing where to look and who to contact. And one of those people would be Jill Canto's website.
Right. And also through Buildsworth and through Yum Life and Tiny House Advisor. So we'll make all this stuff available on the Hope Collection website in the future so that folks can go and get connected to, you know, all the different resources that are available. One of the things that I'd like to share about tiny homes is it does provide an opportunity as an investment opportunity
if you have a tiny home but you're not able to use it all the time, you know, definitely could Airbnb it. And there are many ways that there can be a share. You can, we can help you to understand how to work with the property owner to make it work out for both. And so that's what Buildsworth can do. That's what Tiny House Advisor can do for you as well. And so we're here as a resource. And I'm wondering, Gary, has anybody called in? I know that we had a couple guests from last week, and I know we keep talking. And so I wanted to give you a moment to jump in, and you may have thought of a question as well.
Okay, terrific, Barb. I appreciate that. It's with great chagrin I report that we had Elise on the phone, and she was being very, very, very helpful. She got cut off, and I'm frantically working the studio board here and tried to call her back, but unfortunately she's dropped, and my studio board is not allowing me to connect. So with that in mind, I'm going to switch the subject to various ways in which tiny homes can be constructed. They can be constructed, of course, custom built, and Barb has many such suppliers and will supply that information. We talk really that technically speaking, a boat itself is a tiny home on the water. And we talked about tiny homes and trees as tree houses. But there's another aspect in the way, means of construction, and that's through container homes. Barb, are you able to talk about that, or might I do my best to explain what a container source of tiny homes is?
I'd love to hear your information about that. That would be great.
All right. As some of you may be aware, container shipping has become the major mode of shipping and transportation. So if you're moving a commodity or a product from a foreign country, the least expensive way is by sea. And rather than just loading this up in terms of packaging from the factory of source, the source factory, these items are actually placed in metal containers. And these metal containers are almost perfectly like the size of a tiny home. And the reason for this is when that ship pulls into port, those containers are lifted off very smoothly and very easily by cranes and placed on the back of a transportation truck. So trucks, of course, have the same dimensions as tiny homes often do because tiny homes are mobile. So they're between 8.5 to 10 feet wide. And what more perfect way to construct a house than to purchase one of these containers and then re-outfit them or reuse them as tiny homes. Barb, does that help you out at all?
Yes, it does. And so with the containers, what we do is, and that provides a great shell or hard skin and structured and can meet the load that needs to be for building code. And then what we do on the inside is we insulate and wire and do all those things just like you would with a regular single family house. And you can clad that or do the outsides differently if you want the industrial look or the, you know, the look of a container and you like that, you can do that. You can put a veneer of stone and siding on it. You could stucco it. And you can do all kinds of things as far as the exterior look. Interior-wise, though, you've got an 8-foot-wide structure and it's, you know, 10 feet tall and or 9 feet tall, I should say, and provide you all the space in the room that you could possibly need. And they can be converted and used as dwellings. And so there's an off-site modular or off-site construction and also code for containers. So they're already recognized, and we can help folks with that in identifying those. And would love to do that. There are other ways of other structures, like you mentioned, Gary. We have folks sometimes when they're building them, they'll use your regular lumber. And then there are some that use steel framing. And of course, you can do a tiny home. It doesn't have to necessarily be a movable structure. It could be built off-site and brought to the location where it will rest, and then you can anchor into place. And so that you could be semi-permanent or permanent in that location. So a tiny home has the ability to morph from an RV all the way to a single-family dwelling on-site on a piece of real estate.
I might pose a question at this time. In what are the advantages and disadvantages of steel construction versus wood construction? And I'll stick on an extra question in there. Are there other construction materials that can serve as an alternative to wood or steel infrastructure framing?
That's really interesting. We've seen earth homes where they build right into the earth and do that.
At West, they call them arcologies, and they build them on the side of mesas.
Yep. And so what we would recommend as far as a full-time dwelling is we want to make sure that the type of materials that they're being built with are made for that, for safe habitants and breathing and, you know, an internal environment of the structures. Mostly we're seeing wood and metal. I have seen straw bale homes. I don't know if, and that's interesting. We're seeing those out west, and where they use mud and straw bales and construct a home. But for most of the folks that we would be talking to, it would be either probably something that they would choose to, but they already have a home, they might like to add as an accessory dwelling or a mother-in-law suite. Or somebody that says, yeah, I just want to live in one full time. And then maybe somebody that says, you know, I see maybe there's an opportunity. I don't necessarily know how to build them. We work with a multitude of builders that can help you and help builders that are interested or investors where they can put together a kit for an individual that includes the steel frame flooring attachment systems, whether that's a trailer or skids. They provide that. They provide the engineered framing. If it's steel, it's got the walls and all of it put together so that it's pretty much like an erector set. When you get it to your location and you have all the instructions and it tells you how to build it and you can build it yourself. Another way is also you could have a builder create a shell all the way till it's dried in, meaning that the windows and the outside coverings are all there, and then you could finish it from the inside out. And each of those provides a different financial in getting started, but it can get you in and started with purchasing at a lower cost if you have some of the other skills that are available or that you would need to actually finish off. So that's pretty much what we're seeing. They're either built or being built and designed by a professional builder. We do see DIYers and people building their own, and they might start from scratch, use a kit or a shell, and then finish it out.
Well, you know, Barb, thank you for that excellent information. We're talking about building materials, and the male mind, if I could call it that, I was trying to find a better word, thinks of the advantages and disadvantages of steel or aluminum versus wood. And the first reaction I have is that, wow, if you use steel construction or aluminum construction, that the walls would be a lot thinner. But then I stop and think, boy, if you're going to prepare your tiny home for the elements, if I could phrase it that way, the thinness of steel really is compounded by the use of insulation. So am I correct then when I stop to think about it that the advantage to a steel home is not so much in the space but rather the strength and the variety of construction? That's the question.
Yes, I would agree. Yes, and very much so. And we're going to have a steel expert on cold rolled steel framing Mike Bedsall with Tiny House Foundations. We're going to have him on to explain for us the difference between steel and using lumber and, you know, the advantages of the steel. It really helps to prevent any racking or twisting that tends to be a challenge with wooden structures. When you're going down the road 70 miles an hour and hit a pothole and it's raining, and you're in all the elements. And so steel, and those that love steel and really can explain it, and that's why we're going to have them on as guests. They love steel, and they're sold out. They wouldn't build with anything else. Those that are building with lumber, they love what they do, and they have systems of fortifying and doing. And so when it all comes said and done, a finished product of a wood to steel, the difference in weight isn't all that much.
Boy, now that's an informative bit of information. But I'm going to jump on what you just told me, Barb, because I find it quite exciting. If I'm correct in looking into the future, it appears to me you've got a definite plan, a definite schedule, and a definite list of experts that you're going to bring on week to week.
Yes,
am I right in that?
That is our desire. Yes, that's our desire.
All right. Excellent. And I'd like to now give our callers a review of the number that can call in these questions when these great hosts or experts come on. And that number is area code 714-816-4686. And that will get you in touch with Buildsworth Builders, the founder, Barb Riley, and her cadre of loyal and effective experts. But I'd like to also tell our studio audience that, or our replay audience, that we're adding a way and perhaps a better means of calling your inquiries and questions in. And that is we're going to add an email address. It's not in position yet, but email address is tinyhomes at Optimize My Life, and I think it's optimizemylife.net. So with this email set up, you'll have an opportunity 24 hours a day, any time of the day, any day of the week, to forward your questions. And I know a lot of our listeners are reluctant to call in because they're shy or busy. So in this respect, you can send in your questions ahead of time. And furthermore, the answers to those questions will be posted on our site also. So, Barb, how does that sound to you?
That sounds great. I'd like for Pat to provide her information and, you know, and how to reach Pat, because there might be somebody that just feels comfortable talking with Pat and just wants to chit-chat about that. And she's been such a gracious guest over these past few weeks, and I really appreciate her, and she has some great knowledge. So, Pat, can you tell us how we could get in touch with you?
Yes, can actually call me on the phone. I don't mind giving my phone number out. It's 727-224-9771. 727-224-9771. And then email Pat at tinyhouseadvisor.com. And my website is tinyhouseadvisor.com. And my website alone is loaded with tips and information. And I do want to add one little thing. Another popular build for tiny houses and any, even mansions, are SIPS panels. Structural insulated panels is another very popular building modality or, you know, way to have whatever size house you want. I just wanted to mention that too.
Excellent, Pat. Oh,
boy, I agree.
Yes, we will talk about that in a future time.
Yep.
And I am only vaguely familiar with SIPs or SIPs or structured insulated panels. So I look forward to that that session where you bring an expert on regarding that. Barb, maybe you could let our listening audience know what are your intentions regarding expanding our web presence through a membership organization.
Okay. At least we've been talking about this. So,
yeah.
So you know, there's synergy that happens when everything's aligned, and this is one of those synergistic times in life where we have created the platform and the foundation for what we would like to call a Yum Life Destination Passport Collection, and that would encompass, you know, RV parks, mobile home parks, Hope Collection communities, any destination that's tiny home friendly would be part of our, what we would call, you know, this collection and the passport. And I love the idea of getting a passport and then traveling to all these destinations and getting a stamp in your passport.
That's right.
Like, how fun is that? Like, making this journey a fun journey, right? Because it's already, like, when you're making a big change in your life, it could be, like, overwhelming. But adding an element of whimsicality and fun to the process.
Right.
So Yum Life RV Destinations right now is a foundation and a baseline for how Buildsworth and Yum Life Ventures is, you know, moving forward and partnering together to kind of take this to the next level.
Right. As with the Hope Collection.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
Expanding that out. And by membership.
And tying them in.
Right. And membership has its advantages. And so by us being able to help individuals also that to start a business. We want to assist in that and help them start a business possibly, use the tiny home as their business, teach financial principles and ways to downsize and prepare and work. But additional membership where you become part of the supply chain, where you're having the advantages of being a business owner and all the things that membership brings and discounts.
Being part of a community. Like being a member of something, I mean, if you look at, you know, from a religious standpoint in places of worship, you're members. Like, so you become a member with people that are looking to kind of explore. I call life is a buffet, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's the buffet of life, and we have so many choices. But how cool is it to be a part of a group with individuals who like the same flavors of life that you do, you know? And so that's another element of being part of something like this. And then sort of knowing that you're going to meet somebody with a similar vibe or similar interest at one of these destinations because they're part of this and recognize the value of and are inspired by, you know, being part of
right.
this collection. Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. And Gary, you are the master of membership and connecting. And can you tell us what your vision might be of that as well?
Oh, thank you, Barb. I like to use two words with the membership model, and that is engagement and stakeholding. If you just come in as a casual participant, you're more than welcome, but you can sign up through the Hope Collection. If you go to Optimize My Life, you can sign up for a membership in the Hope Collection, and it's free. It's totally free. And at the same time, if you went into, when this is set up, into Yum Life or to Buildsworth, there'll be a membership button there. And so you can engage by simply entering your name and email and telephone number. And then you say follow. And there'll be other ways in which we get back and connect together. But then there's one third word I'll add to that, and Pat has touched on it, and that's community. Because some of the best ways we learn are not only from experts or certified teachers, but rather from one another. Being a retired teacher, I can tell you that when a teacher has a major role of being the instigator and the organizer and the deliverer of basic information, but surprisingly only 20% of a classroom on the average learns from the what they learn is from the teacher, directly from the teacher. Instead, 80% are actually picked up by their peers or fellow classmates. And so that's the essence of a membership model. As you sign up, you become engaged, but we look for your contributions. You become a peer advisor. But with that, Barb, thank you so much. What's up for next week's show?
I think we'll be talking with Mike Bedsoll with Tiny House Foundations, and he's going to talk to us about steel framing and kits and shells. And so those that are interested in from a building their own or thinking about having a tiny home designed and would like to know more and ask questions about that. And then also anyone that might be interested from an investment standpoint, they would like to purchase many and talk about, you know, how we could make that work. They'll be able to discuss that as well as we'd love to have Elise and Pat back with us as well. And just make it a party and have it be an opportunity to discover tiny.
So join us next Wednesday, same time, same place, on the Hope Collection, Blog Talk Radio, Tiny House Wednesday. With that, I leave with my traditional sign-off and remind us and others that the Lord is usually the source for most of us. And so join us again next time. Over and out.